صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Before we begin, there was a request for everybody to move forward. So if I can ask the brothers in the back to move as close as you can to the minbar. So don't worry, I'm not going to ask questions during the majlis if you sit close to the minbar. فرحم الله من ذكر القائم من آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. A second salawat for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. For the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen, a third salawat in the loudest of your voices. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we've been discussing saying number 147 in Nahjul Balagha. And as I mentioned, that this saying is a conversation between Kumail ibn Ziyad and Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's a private conversation. The Imam alayhi salam, he takes the hand of Kumail and they walk to the outskirts of the city. And as we've covered so far, the Imam alayhi salam, he shares profound wisdom with Kumail. The hadith basically starts off with the Imam saying, Ya Kumail ibn Ziyad, inna hadhihi al-qulub aw'iya, fakhayruha aw'aha. O Kumail, these hearts are containers, and the best of them are those that have the greatest capacity. And then the Imam alayhi salam explains to Kumail that there are three types of people. And he divides people into three different groups based on their relationship with knowledge. He mentions the godly scholar, فَعَالِمٌ رَبَّانِي. He mentions the learner who learns with the prophet, with the proper intention, the intention of attaining salvation. And then he mentioned the third group. The third group is the group that doesn't live in accordance with knowledge. They don't live their lives based on wisdom and understanding. Their decisions are not informed by knowledge. Their behavior, their decisions are influenced by whatever the majority is doing. They're just like leaves that are blown by the wind. They have no foundation. And then the Imam, as we mentioned last night, this is just a quick summary. He mentions that knowledge is better than wealth. It's better than money. العلم خير من المال. And as I said last night, many of us, we accept that idea in theory. But in practice, we often give priority, and we give more respect to wealth and those who have wealth. And we're willing to sacrifice for wealth, but we're not willing to even inconvenience ourselves to show you that there is a disconnect between what we claim and what we really believe. Then the Imam alayhi salam, he continues. And this is where we left off. Ya Kumail. You know, again, it's very interesting that the Imam, he repeats the name of Kumail as he's speaking to him. And it seems that the Imam does this to keep him attentive and also to express his affection for Kumail. He constantly says his name to demonstrate to Kumail that you are someone who I consider to be very close. We know each other on a first name basis, as they say. Ya Kumail, halaka khuzanul amwali wa hum ahya. The Imam says, O Kumail, the people who amass wealth, whose entire lives are about the accumulation of money. There are some people, every minute of every day is devoted to making an extra dollar. And their desire for money is for the sake of money. You know, sometimes you want to make money because you have a goal. You have something more noble that you want to achieve. Imam says, no, there are some people that don't look at money as a means. For them, being rich and accumulating money in and of itself is what they want. That the goal is the accumulation of money and nothing beyond that. The Imam says, people who are like this, whose entire lives revolves around the amassing and the accumulation of money, the Imam says, halaka khuzan. The word khuzan is the plural of khazan. Those who just hoard money, they accumulate money. The Imam says they're dead, even though they might be physically alive. Halaka khuzanul amwal wa hum ahya. Even though they're biologically alive, because they've made their entire life about money, their hearts are dead. They're spiritually dead. You know, there's an interesting narration that we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Arba'un yumitna al-qalb." You know, so in the beginning of the hadith, we spoke about the importance of hearts that are always increasing in capacity, so that we can receive more from Allah. Now, the absolute worst thing that could happen to a human being is for their hearts, for their spiritual hearts, to die. That's the worst thing that could happen. For your spiritual heart to die. The Prophet says there are four things that cause the spiritual heart to die. You know, and God forbid, you know, sometimes a person might reach a point in their lives where they don't feel anything. They could commit the worst sin and they feel nothing. They could stand before Allah, pray. They don't feel anything when they pray, when they make dua. They feel dead inside. The Prophet says that this doesn't happen by accident. You weren't born with a dead heart. You did certain things that caused your spiritual heart to become sick, and then over time, because you didn't treat the sickness, your spiritual heart has died. So what causes the Prophet says, number one, adhanbu ala dhanb. To sin persistently. Your heart is not going to die if you commit a sin. Otherwise, we would all be doomed. When does it become very dangerous? When you sin, you don't repent. You do it again, you don't repent. And you start, and you even ignore your guilty conscience. You know, when you first start committing sins, you feel guilty inside. The first time you go to a club, you feel like, you feel very uneasy. God forbid, the first time you drink, that first time, something, there's an alarm system that's going off inside of you. But what happens when you go the second time, the third time, the fourth time? You don't repent. You persist with the sinning. The Prophet says what ends up happening is your spiritual heart dies and you don't feel bad anymore about it. And people don't get to that point by doing it the first time. Repetitive sinning leads to the death of the spiritual heart. And once the heart dies, it's very difficult to bring it back, to bring it back to life. It needs some sort of divine intervention. And then the Prophet, he says, وَكَثْرَةُ مُنَاقَشَةِ النِّسَاءِ يَعْنِي مُحَادَثَتَهُنْ. Another thing that causes the heart to die is to excessively talk and interact with the opposite gender. Now, Islam doesn't say that men and women should not communicate at all. No. You can communicate, but your communication should have a purpose. Because when you get too comfortable talking to non-mahrams, oftentimes what leads, you know, it starts off in a very professional way, and it's a very formal conversation, but if you're constantly brushing shoulders and interacting with the opposite gender, inevitably what's going to happen is red lines are going to be crossed. And then it starts to erode. It starts to eat away at your sense of modesty. That positive shyness, it goes away. And haya is a very important quality. If you don't restrict yourself, and if you're too loose and open with the opposite gender, that haya is going to die. And when a person loses their modesty, and this applies to men and women, when you lose your modesty, an aspect of your humanness has been lost. You know, what makes us human is that we're the only creatures that cover up. Because there's this sense of haya. This is number two. Then the Prophet says, وَمُمَارَاتُ الْأَحْمَقِ. And to constantly argue and debate and dispute with foolish people. And this is a very important message for social media. You know, sometimes you see people, they're having a long debate in the comments section of YouTube. It's like, do you have no life? Who are you arguing with? Going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Wasting your time. So constantly debating with people who have not shown an interest to learn, who are not interested in understanding and hearing another perspective. Why waste your time arguing? Because when you argue with people who are not interested in the truth, it becomes a game of egos. We shift away from trying to collectively find out what the truth is to what? Who won the debate? Was it me or was it you? This person destroyed this person. And the worst are the Sunni and Shia debates. They're the absolute worst. Because 99.999% of the people who are having these discussions and these debates, either they're not qualified in terms of knowledge, or they have sub-zero akhlaq. They might have the knowledge, but they don't have the akhlaq. The only reason why we should be having these discussions is if you sense that there's a sincere desire to know the truth. But if it's just about, you know, me versus you, and they design these, you know, these YouTube thumbnails and it looks like a wrestling match is going to take place, the Prophet says engaging in these types of futile disputes is going to cause your spiritual heart to die. Because it's not about who's winning the debate. It's about discovering haq, discovering the truth. And if you're debating with foolish people, you lose sight of what is most important. And that is elevating the truth. Presenting the truth in a way that can be digested by people. It's not about, oh, I smoked him in a debate. You smoked him in a debate. Good for you. Did you bring this person's heart closer to the truth? Or did you just put them in a defensive mode? You know, there's a beautiful statement from Ahlul Bayt. And again, most of us, we don't follow these traditions. Ahlul Bayt, they say, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا. Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Baqir, our imams, they say, may Allah have mercy. The imams are making dua for such a person. May Allah have mercy upon that person who abandons argumentation and disputes even when they know they are right. You know that you're right. But the moment you see that your opponent or the person that you're discussing with has shut down and they've become defensive, stop the discussion. Because the purpose of these discussions is to open up people's hearts. It's to bring them to the truth. It's not to keep score and keep track of who's winning. It's not about winning. It's about being at the surface of the truth. And sometimes being at the service of the truth is to know when the discussion is no longer productive. And to say, I have to pull back now. See, this ethics is what is missing today. Islam is not about Sunni versus Shia. Our imams never taught us to look at the ummah in this way, where it's us versus them. No. We want to bring everyone to the light of truth. We want to bring people to the path of Ahlul Bayt. And we have to be cognizant of what brings people closer and what repels them. Number four, so we're going through the things that cause the heart to die. And then finally the Prophet says, وَمُجَالَسَةُ الْمَوْتَى. The fourth thing that causes the heart to die is to sit with dead people. Now you read this, this sounds like a horror movie. What do you mean sit with dead people? So the hadith says, the companions of the Prophet were confused. Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean sitting with the dead causes the heart to die? We sit with the living. What crazy person would want to go, so should we dig up the graves and just take out the dead and sit with them? What does that mean? فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْمَوْتَى. Who are you referring to when you mean the dead? The Prophet says, كُلُّ غَنِيٍّ مُتْرَف. To sit with people who are rich and money is their only goal in life. Now there are some, now of course we're not saying that we have nothing against rich people. The Prophet is not saying, avoid the rich, repel them. We're not Marxists. The Prophet is saying, avoid people whose only purpose in life is just to accumulate money. People who worship money. People who are trying to earn money not because they want to use it to do something noble. They want to acquire money just so that they can identify as rich. And they can look down on people who are not rich. Right? Who are just accumulating wealth so they can refer to themselves as successful, and the rest of you are just a bunch of brokies. The Prophet says, don't sit with people like that. Because they're dead inside. Why are they dead? Because they took their hearts, which was meant to host Allah, and they took something so small called the dunya, and they put the dunya in their hearts, and they infected their hearts. And their hearts died. They're dead inside. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, going back to his words to Kumail, he says, Ya Kumail, halaka khuzzanu al-amwali wa hum ahya. O Kumail, those people who hoard and they accumulate and they amass wealth just for the purpose of accumulating wealth, they are dead even when they are alive. It makes you think, if they are dead even when they're biologically alive, what is their condition when they actually die? And then the Imam says what? وَالْعُلَمَاءُ بَاقُونَ مَا بَقِيَ الدَّهْرِ. The people who have made their only purpose in life the accumulation of dollars, the Imam says, they're dead even before we put them in the grave. They're already dead. But then the Imam says, but the scholars, those people who have ilm and who are connected to Allah, they are eternal. They're never going to die. Meaning that they will continue to live for as long as the world exists. Meaning even after they die, they're still alive. Those who are obsessed with dunya, they're dead before Malakul Maut even comes to them. But the Imam says, the ones who have filled their hearts with ma'rifatullah, those people who have knowledge of God and they're practicing that knowledge, they are always going to be alive. Death cannot overtake them. And then the Imam alayhi salam, very beautifully, he says, "A'yanuhum mafquda." You might not see their bodies anymore. They passed away. You don't see them anymore. Their physical bodies have turned into dust. أعيانهم مفقودة وأمثالهم في القلوب موجودة. But their legacies, their knowledge, their lessons, their ideas are alive. And where are they alive? They're alive in the hearts of people. And that's the best place to live. They're not only alive, they are residing in the hearts of people. I'll give you a very simple example. In the first majlis, which scholar did I mention? I spoke about Shaheed Mutahhari. This great man, this great scholar, who devoted his life to knowledge and the dissemination of knowledge. He passed away about a half a century ago. But we talk about him as if he's with us. Do you think Shaheed Mutahhari ever thought that 50 years after my death, Someone is going to mention me on a minbar in Brisbane, Australia. Do you think he ever thought that? There are people today, they're alive, physically alive. It's as if they don't even exist. Because they're chasing things that are fleeting. Dunya in its nature is fleeting, it's temporary, it's going to perish. But when you connect to the one who does not die, you become the living who does not die. Shaheed Mutahhari, even though we don't see him, we feel as if he's with us. The Imam says, أَعْيَانُهُمْ مَفْقُودَةً. You don't see them, but they're alive. So from the perspective of Imam Ali, life and death is not just about who is physically alive and who's physically dead. Life and death is more about the impact that you have. There are people who lived 1,000 years ago and they have more of an impact today than when they were physically alive. How many of you have heard of Kitab al-Kafi? Raise your hand. Kitab al-Kafi is the most important collection of hadith in the Shi'i tradition. It was compiled by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni 1100 years ago. It took him 20 years to gather all of these ahadith and organize them into sections, 20 years. And this was before internet and Google searches and chat, GPT. No, they had to do real work. They had to travel. You know, some of our scholars, they were so passionate about gathering the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt that if they heard that someone in the forest villages in India has a hadith, they would go and travel all the way to get that one hadith from them. They would travel for weeks and months because there's someone that has a hadith. You know, they can't call them. There's no email. They had to physically go. They go and they would write down the hadith and they would come back. Now we have all of the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt on our phones and we don't read them. Sometimes I think Allah is going to question us. And He's going to bring someone who lived 600 years ago and they know hundreds of hadith. Thousands of ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, they're familiar with them. And they didn't have iPhones and iPads and laptops. For them, it was really difficult to acquire this knowledge. And Allah is going to bring people like me, people like us. We had all of the ulum of Ahlul Bayt on our fingertips, and we don't even know the ABCs of Islam. What are we going to say? So the Imam says, "Halaka khuzanu al-amwali wa hum ahya." The accumulators of wealth are dead, even though they might be physically alive. But the people who have ilm, the ulama, the scholars, the godly scholars, they remain. And we sense this. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, we have a choice to make in life. Do you want to be a spiritually dead person for the rest of your life? Or do you want to really be alive? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He addresses us, mu'mineen, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ. O you who believe, answer, respond to the invitation of Allah and His Messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ. An invitation has been given to you and me from Allah and from Rasulullah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Allah is inviting you to a path that will enliven your heart, that will make you feel alive. money, materialistic things are never going to make you feel alive. Why do you think so many people who have millions and billions of dollars end up committing suicide? Because they're wondering, okay, what's going on? I have everything, but I still feel empty. And they have what? They have the midlife crisis. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I went to school. I got a good job. I made money. On paper, I have everything. But you know what they're missing? They're missing Allah. They have nothing. They feel dead. And the worst type of pain is to feel spiritually dead. That's the worst type of pain. So how do we want to live? You have a choice. You're either going to live a life where you're spiritually alive or you're spiritually dead. And the choice is yours. أعيانهم مفقودة وأمثالهم في القلوب موجودة. And then look at what the Imam says. He says, إِنَّهَا هُنَا لَعِلْمًا جَمَّا وَأَشَارَ إِلَى صَدْرِهِ. As Imam Ali عليه السلام is speaking to Kumail, he says, O Kumail, there is an abundance of knowledge that is here. And the Imam, he points to his chest. He says, there is so much knowledge in this heart. لو أصبت له حملة. If only I could find people to pass this knowledge to. Isn't this sad? Wallah, you read this and you want to cry. Look at Amir al-Mu'mineen. You have someone who is willing to give knowledge, who's willing to share knowledge that will revive the hearts, that will make people feel alive in the truest sense of the word. But no one's interested in what Ali has to give. They just want the silver coins and the gold coins, thinking that that's going to make me feel happy. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's saying that I'm looking for people to take this knowledge. I want to pass this on. Ali is looking for containers. He's looking for hearts that can preserve and protect this knowledge and pass it down from generation to generation. You know, so for any action to take place, you know, philosophers say that there are two things that have to happen. For knowledge to transfer from heart to heart, we need number one, fa'iliyatul fa'il. The giver has to be capable, meaning the one who's giving has to have knowledge. They have to have the qualifications. The giver, the doer, has to be capable. In the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the giver is capable. The teacher is there. But what's the problem? قابليةُ القابل. The receiver is not capable. The one who's receiving doesn't have the capacity. And then the Imam alayhi salam, you see, what does the Imam mean when he says that I have so much knowledge that I want to pass on? You might say, but Shaykh, Nahjul Balagha is filled with sermons of Imam Ali speaking to the public. That's true. But with Ahlul Bayt, they have a two-prong education plan for the Ummah. If you look at all of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, they had an education plan for the general public. The knowledge that they would give to everybody. Knowledge that even a beginner can appreciate and understand. But then there's another type of knowledge, the deeper knowledge, that they only give to hearts that have the capacity to take it. The Imam is basically saying that I give the general knowledge to the masses, but I have some really, really good stuff, deep knowledge that I want to pass on to special people, but I can't find them. I can't find those recipients who I can transfer that deeper knowledge to. And then the Imam alayhi salam, he says, Bala. He says, yes, there are people that want to take knowledge from me, who want that deeper knowledge, but there's a problem. Bala, asabtu laqina. Yes, I've met people who want that deeper knowledge from Ali. But Imam Ali alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, I've met many intelligent people. غير مأمون عليه. Imam says, there are some students who come to me. They're very intelligent, but they're not trustworthy. They're intelligent, they're very clever people, but they have ill intentions. What do you mean by ill intentions? Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, مستعملاً آلة الدين للدنيا. مستعملاً آلة الدين للدنيا. These are people who come to me and they want to use religion as a tool for worldly gains. The Imam says there are some people, they want to use religion as a business. Their hearts are not in the right place. They want to gain knowledge for the wrong reasons. They want to be prestigious in society. They want to be respected. They want to increase their social capital through religious knowledge. So even though they're studying religion, their goal is to use religion to get more dunya. So Imam says, I don't want to share the deep aspects of Islam with these people. Their minds are sharp, but their hearts are corrupted. وَمُسْتَظْهِرًا بِنِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. These are the types of people, they want to use knowledge to assert their dominance over other people. There are some who see the attractiveness of religious authority. They want power. They want authority. وَمُسْتَظْهِرًا بِنِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Knowledge is a ni'mah, but they want to use this ni'mah to assert their dominance and their superiority over other people. وَبِحُجَجِهِ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. They want to learn Qur'an. They want to learn the ahadith to harm righteous people. I'll give you an example. Many of you are familiar with the mass arrests that happened in Kufa when Muslim ibn Aqil arrived. Many Kufans who were loyal to Imam al-Hussein, they were jailed. Who do you think gave the religious legitimacy to Ibn Ziyad to arrest these people? Do you know who did it? An Islamic scholar who was a judge by the name of Shuraih al-Qadhi. Today, if you go to Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia is going to change. It's changing drastically. The same lands that the Prophet used to propagate Islam, now you have concerts. You have singers. You have alcohol consumption. You have gambling. Who gave the green light to these Muslim rulers? The scholars who find verses in the Quran and a hadith to say, oh, it's okay. The ends justifies the means, and they'll give a religious justification for this immoral behavior. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, There are those who come. They want knowledge. They're clever. They're intelligent. But they are ill-intentioned. Ali says, I don't give the secrets that the Prophet gave to me, that pure, deep Islamic knowledge, I don't give it to these people. Ali is selective. So this is one group. So the Imam is now giving us examples of unqualified recipients of knowledge. People who don't have the right containers to take that knowledge. So the first group are people who are intelligent, but they have bad intentions. And then the Imam says, أَوْ مُنْقَادًا لِحَمَلَةِ الْحَقِّ. You know, sometimes you might have people who have good intentions, but they're very naive. They're naive. You know, sometimes people with good intentions, they can also cause a lot of damage because they don't have insight. They don't have wisdom. So the Imam says, there are some who come to me for deep Islamic knowledge. They're very sincere. They want to follow the carriers of the truth. But what's the problem with them? لا بصيرة له في أحنائه. They don't have insight. They're very superficial. They're simpletons. You know, just like in the Battle of Siffin, Imam had a lot of people like that in his army. He is fighting against Muawiyah, who is the greatest threat to the Muslim community. Amr ibn As, Muawiyah, they realize that they're going to lose the battle. They say to their soldiers, put the Quran on the spears. And that was enough for the people with good intentions to say, oh, stop, stop, stop. The Quran is there. We have to stop. Ali is telling you to fight. But because they saw a Quran on a spear, no. We have tahara and najasa, and we have to. And talking Quran is telling you to fight. And you're saying, no, because the Quran is there, I have to stop. These are people who are very simple-minded. They don't have insight. They don't have wisdom. يَنْقَدِحُ الشَّكُّ فِي قَلْبِهِ. These are the types of people who easily doubt. The moment any ambiguity arises, any question is presented, doubt overcomes them. So they're simple-minded. They don't have depth. They want deep knowledge. They have good intentions, but they're easily manipulated. They're easily manipulated. Imam says, "Ala, la dhaka wa la dhak." The first group, they can't be trusted. And the second group can't be trusted. Sometimes there are people with bad intentions. Obviously, these people, you can't trust them with that deep knowledge. And the people who are very innocent, you also can't trust them because they're going to destroy themselves and the community without realizing it. You have to be very selective about who you're giving this information and this knowledge to. And then the Imam gives a third group. أَوْ مَنْهُومًا بِاللَّذَّةِ سَلِسَ الْقِيَادَةِ لِلشَّهْوَةِ. There are some who are driven by their desires. Their qa'id, their leader is their passions. They have no discipline. They're very impulsive people. The Imam says, I need people, if I'm going to give this knowledge to them, they have to have discipline. Because the thing with a lot of knowledge is that when you have a lot of knowledge and very little discipline, you start to use the knowledge to find loopholes. Meaning, you're sitting there and you start doing ghibah. Ghibah is haram. But because you've memorized so many ayat of Quran and hadith, you can find a way to find a loophole. Oh, well, this person is a fasiq. You'll come up with some justification. You're driven by desires. You don't have discipline. Number four, أو مغرما بالجمع والادخار. And there are people, they're similar to the who the Imam was speaking about in the beginning. Those who are accumulating money and they're hoarding wealth. Meaning these are the types of people, they want to become religious authorities just so they can collect money from people. That's the only thing that they care about. That's the only thing that they care about. That's the only time that they show up. They're not there to teach, to solve problems. Only if there's a donation, that's when you see them. Imam says, those people who are obsessed with dunya, I don't give them this deep knowledge. The Imam then says, لَيْسَ مِنْ رُعَاتِ الدِّينِ فِي شَيْءٍ. These groups, these four groups, they are not the shepherds and the custodians of this religion. This religion is not preserved by these types of people. Those types of people who are impulsive, who use religion for dunya, the Imam says, they are أقرب شيء شبها بهم أقرب شيء شبها بهم الأنعام السائمة. These types of people who use religion just to fill their stomachs and line their pockets, Imam says they're like grazing cattle. That's all they are. They're grazing cattle. And then the Imam says, كذلك يموت العلم بموت حاملي. The Imam says, this is how knowledge dies. When you have people who are carrying deep knowledge, but they have no one to pass it on to. Now the question here arises, what happens to this deep knowledge? Does it die with Ali? Or does Allah have a system in place that preserves that deep Islamic knowledge? What is that system? Inshallah, we'll discuss that tomorrow night. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.